Die Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika op Groot FM 90.5.
I wanted to do an introduction. I wanted to. Everybody that goes out cold water swimming every morning, ladies and gentlemen, Rob Herzhoff. Is that a better introduction instead of the whole list?
That's a much better introduction.
I feel like we're walking, sitting and talking to giants this morning, and we're not only talking about your height that make me and Ruben feel like absolute dwarves, but big shoes that walk this earth.
Rob, how are you? It's good to have you in studio this time.
I'm very well, thank you. Very well. I do exist. Here I am in the flesh. But talking about big shoes, I spent the day and the evening with my parents last night. My father turns 98 this year, my mum 91. Wow. And those are big shoes to fill. And I may never fill them. So I'm very proud to have them alive and happy and well. And they're incredible people.
Your parents and your grandparents has had so much success. I would like to pick your brain just quickly on this. What is the one lesson that they learned you, taught you, that has stuck with you in your business career? Very highly successful business career.
Hire people better than yourself. So all my partners in the businesses of mine that have succeeded are way smarter than me and way better than me. And for some reason, I got lucky to team up with them. So, you know, that's the way to do it.
Unbelievable.
If every business in this country can follow that one sentence, I think we'd be a hell of a lot better off.
Absolutely. Let's dive straight in. I mean, after your talk at BizNews, the FoodSac ANC, that we had a chat to you about afterwards, that has since gone viral. How's it been from there, since that talk, up until now in Rob's life?
So my life has become very quiet and a little bit frustrating because, you know, even though I took a lot of hits for my public activism, my capitalist activism, and my support of trying to help South Africa, even though I took a lot of hits, I actually enjoyed it. And I upset a lot of people. You know, a lot of old friends won't talk to me. A lot of business people won't talk to me. But the man in the street, the woman in the street who come up and say, thank you for what you've done, makes me proud. And I look in the mirror and I think, I've made a difference. I've moved the needle. And I think I've helped South Africa. So for the last 2 months, it's been very quiet in my life. You know.
But since then, I mean, the last talk that you had, and thank you, I got that link as well. It's funny because I literally watched the video the evening before that, just before you sent me the clip as well. And have I got my facts correct? Rob has decided to back down from politics. Is it true, firstly, and secondly, if true, why?
So I think it was a result of 3 years of, you know, telling the truth, speaking truth to power, calling out idiots and criminals and kleptocrats and ineptocrats in government. And it wears you down because, you know, I kept taking risks in saying things. And when I got away with them, I just upped the game, taking another risk. And it got to a point where my kids were a little bit scared, but they didn't know why. And, you know, people would come up to me and say jokingly, Rob, it's amazing you haven't been bumped off yet. But, you know, my kids would hear them say that, and they'd look and go, well, what's this all about? You know, so they were getting a bit nervous. My wife, who's a Kiwi, obviously supported me 100%, which is amazing. But she was getting a bit nervous too. She just felt that every time I went on stage, and I never really prepare what I'm going to say, every time I went on stage or spoke or got interviewed, you know, anything could come out of my mouth. I'd be as surprised as you would be what came out of my mouth. And I'd go into a zone, and the zone would be I'd be able to speak for 20 minutes, time myself perfectly, and not really know what I said. And athletes and entertainers get into that zone, and I'm in that zone when I'm public speaking. But it was always dangerous. I'd always say what I was thinking, you know, just it would just come out of my mouth. And she was worried that at some point soon I'd say something we would all regret.
Do you have any regrets now in hindsight after the FoodSac ANC speech?
Not really, no. I don't. I'm actually very proud of what I've done. And a friend of mine who's a cartoonist threatening to do a cartoon of me as a boxer or gladiator, hanging up my gloves or hanging up my sword, undefeated. And he said to me, you know, Rob, it's probably a good time to step out of political activism because you can't just keep saying, you know, riskier things or doing better speeches. You can't just keep doing that trajectory.
Here's what I don't get on that. And I'm going to ask the question. I mean, we spoke to Jan now as well. I mean, he's been through crazy stuff, him and Andre. I just asked him now, is he going to write the book? It's coming. It's coming. He's going to write a book, and I can't wait for that to come. But isn't this the best time now to call that stuff out, as you've done, and get it out in the open before we go to the elections for 2024? Because it's crucial that people start knowing exactly what's going on.
Well, I was hoping other people would do that. And there are great people in the world of politics that are doing it. You know, Corné Mulder, I'm a huge fan of. Musi Maimane, Herman Mashaba. You know, there are many people at the DA doing a good job. Gayton McKenzie's been unbelievable.
We're going to get to him now.
Telling it like it is. You know, even Neil De Beer, in his own way, recently has kind of stood firm on certain issues.
Rob, do you think that your way of speaking, obviously this has been in the last 52 weeks, and leading up to the election, the idea of the diplomatic politician, that's kind of not disappeared, but lessened to a very big extent. Do you think that how you did things moved that needle?
Yes, I do. You know, 5 years ago, you wouldn't have dared say Futsak ANC. Mm. No one would have. I remember Bridget Radebe at the mining indaba, Jeff Radebe's wife, who's a great woman, getting really angry at me when I said in public, the ANC are destroying this country. Even saying something like that, she got angry. You can't say that. We're the liberation movement. We saved the country. And for me to say Futsak ANC 3 years ago was revolutionary. You know, now I've got stickers all over my car saying it, you know, and people stop me and say, please give me a sticker. I've got a pile of them in the front. I hand them through the window. A general in the police even asked for one. He said, I want to have it on my weekend car. And I gave it to him. I was very funny. So I think I moved the needle in a big way because people tell the truth. And there was a great article today in Daily Friend, I think, saying that Cyril Ramaphosa is a liar. He's a liar. He lies all the time. And for even that article, to say that, I was really proud of the journalist. I should have remembered who wrote it. But I was like, well done him. So people are starting to come out with telling the truth, that the ANC are lying, cheating, stealing, thieves, and the cabinet are a bunch of morons, criminals. I did say I wouldn't say this again, but I'm saying it. You know, and I'm telling the truth, and more people are saying it, not just round the braai.
Die Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika op Groot FM 95.5.
Rob Hershoff, he bounce volgens. Somebody that's not afraid to shake cages, I can guarantee you that. I mean, even the day that you did the, you joined the march to Luthuli House in Johannesburg, and at that, on the stage, you called the president spineless, and you were literally chased down the street by the masses, trying to literally take you out, Rob. And that's the reality of when you talk out these days, saying things as it is, according to your view, and then that's the type of stuff that you have to face. It's crazy.
It is, but the good thing is that I'd had a knee operation, a knee replacement, a year before, and I really realized my knee was fixed when I managed to run, get to the car in time without
that's
getting beaten
test.
Up.
Yeah.
You met Jan previously, but Jan Oberholzer,
yep.
Your view on what's happening at the power utility now, because, I mean, we haven't seen load shedding. I mean, there's loads of conspiracies and so on. I mean, Jan had his opinion now, and he said it on air, but I would like to hear your view on
it. So
this.
I didn't hear his opinion, so I'm going to give mine, and maybe it matches with Jan's. So what has happened is, of the top 50 economies in the world, South Africa is the only economy that's having zero growth right now, which is embarrassing. Zero growth. But what that means is that the corporate sector is not putting a huge demand on the grid. So that's taken a lot of pressure off Eskom to provide electricity because we've zero growth, which is beyond embarrassing. And that's a direct result of idiotic government policies. The second is that the private sector has stepped up in a big way over the last few years with solar and on houses and on businesses, which has taken a lot of pressure off Eskom. And so, you know, idiots like Fikile Mbalula and others are claiming the ANC has solved load shedding. Well, the ANC created load shedding, created the problem, has destroyed, you know, has, they don't even know what the word maintenance means, okay?
Correct.
They inherit a state-owned enterprise, and then they look at the maintenance money as something they can steal, okay? Simply put. So what happens is everything falls apart. But the private sector stepped in a big way. private individuals, small and medium enterprises, which has taken a lot of pressure off the grid. And also the fact the economy is not growing has put no new pressure on the grid. So the ANC can pretend they fixed load shedding leading up to the election. Mm. But I think we will have load shedding in the next 24 months. Mm. Again, we'll see it again.
Okay, so what's our date? How much time do we have?
Well, we have exactly, as we're sitting here now, 8 days, 22 hours and 37 minutes till the ballots open for what we don't only believe, we know, is probably the most important election that this country has ever had, and I'm including 94.
You said earlier that you are very confident that we'll see the ruling party, the ANC, not make it this year. Are you still standing by that?
Yes, they'll be below 50% for sure. I've been saying they'll be below 40%.
Mm.
But I think, you know, with all the lies that Ramaphosa is telling about NHI, everybody getting free medical, he just makes stuff up. The fact they've solved load shedding, which is nonsense, they created load shedding. And all the garbage and all the international nonsense in supporting, you know, the terrorist group Hamas, you know, they're just playing for the populist votes. And there are a lot of desperate people in this country that are scared. And, you know, the grant, threatening that the DA will take the grant away and other lies like that. I think that the ANC are now back above 40%, but they're well below 50. So if they're sitting in the low 40s, 42, 43, 44, which again is what Franz Cronier of the SRF says, then, you know, they can pull together the rats and mice in a coalition, or they can go for, you know, an Inkatha, a DA, an MK, or an EFF to get them that final 8 to 10%, or a Patriotic Alliance.
How do you see the role of Jacob Zuma playing this year?
So I think Jacob Zuma has been a wrecking ball for both the EFF and ANC. I think they absolutely hate him. He's the most popular politician in this country by far. But in a way, for the multi-party coalition, it's a benefit for us, for the good guys, because he's the wrecking ball. He's taken away a lot of votes from the EFF, taken away a lot of votes from the ANC. And I don't think either of them can do business with him.
So we've spoken about this before, but I mean, leading up to the elections, a lot of things change and so on. So if we're talking coalitions, right, you've said before as well that if they can find 10 things, right, and let's say the parties can agree on 6 of those 10 things, they can work out the other 4, but just get on with it, form the coalition, and that's how we're going to see change. Still with that, and how do you see a positive coalition form? How would it look like, ideally?
So the DA is going to end up with 22%. Inkatha maybe 6, VF plus 5. You know, that's where we're in the mid-30s now. You know, Action SA, Build One South Africa, get us to 40, low 40s. And then we're still 8, 9, 10% short of getting to 51 for the good guys. There are two parties out there that, you know, that should be part of the multi-party coalition, and that's the Patriotic Alliance, Gayton McKenzie on the one hand, and Rise Mzansi, which I think is a very good party, except for their pro-Hamas views. They don't stand with Israel, which I think is a terrible mistake of theirs. But those two parties are pro-West, pro-capitalist, anti-communist, you know, sensible parties. And if we could co-opt them into the multi-party coalition, and that's then 9 different groups, we could be very close to 50%. Those would be the good guys.
Mm.
The leftists are ANC, MK, and EFF. But yeah. I don't see those three getting together.
Mm. Rob Herschel. Privileged to have you here in studio. I'll have you know. Thank you so much. Still busy with the paddle tennis.
Yeah, paddle's been a big success.
Major.
Yeah, we've got Africa Paddles now. Got over 100 courts at 22 locations. And
yes,
we've actually got Olympus just opened here in East Pretoria. So.
Yeah.
They're Brooklyn popping up everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, you've played it, so you know how easy it is to play. Easy. Within 2 minutes, you know how to play.
Yeah.
I mean, and off you go. And anyone of any age or athletic ability can play. It's great fun.
Breaks your brain in the beginning. It's like, can I do that? Is it allowed?
Just do it. And until then they tell you not to.
Exactly.
If you get it, you start getting creative, and that's it. So, by the way, while she read about the NHI, I noticed that you shook your head there. What's your view on that? rolling out of
there. It's a huge disaster. The ANC government cannot run any state-owned enterprise. They've bankrupted them all, broken them all, stolen them all to death. How do they think they're going to implement NHI? How in the world do they think they're going to put it in place and run it? They're not.
Mm.
And it's just so they can steal. That's the only reason they're going ahead on it. Mm. They want to steal.
And to win votes, right?
And to win votes, exactly. Mm. Exactly. I don't think it'll ever happen, by the way.
NHI?
No.
Successfully rolling out?
I just think he may sign it, and then the next government that'll come in will have a look at how much it's going to cost. You know, even if the ANC is part of that government, you know, younger people are going to come through. They're going to say it's unaffordable, it's unimplementable, and the private sector will at last hopefully grow some spine and show a bit of courage to fight against it. And it's just not going to happen. We'll have a mass exodus of top medical professionals.
Hmm.
It's not going to, it's lunacy. It's like believing in socialism. You might as well believe in the Easter Bunny.
I think because we spoke to someone with regards to the NHI right after it was signed, and I think it made me, as a citizen of this country, feel a little bit better, obviously, because even the people on grassroots level can see there are gaping holes in this thing. But what she said was, at least we're in such a gray area. We cannot expect it to happen her prediction was about 10 years, actually, because we have people standing up from the private sector. We have so many people literally ready to go into court on this. And obviously, we are basically a month away from a new government after everything has been implemented, hopefully.
I think it's just it's not feasible. And it's moronic to think that this is a good idea for the country, particularly under the ANC.
Mm. Absolutely.
So shoot that one down, please, everybody.
Right, so here's the thing now. Sitting in your chair right now, Rob, do you have the slightest little bit of hope for South Africa? And be honest now. I don't have to say that. You're anyway honest. Do you have the slightest little bit of hope for South Africa, and especially for the elections coming up?
I think if we can survive the next four and a half years, I have real hope. Because I think everyone will have come to their senses by then. If we have an ANC-EFF government, the damage will be enormous over the next 4 or 5 years. Enormous. But we will survive. You survive everything in the end.
Do you think so?
Yes, you do. And there will be, you know, Argentina spent how many, 60 years destroying its economy through idiotic socialism, and they've come to their senses. Malay is in power now. If you look at Salvador, they realize they couldn't continue with the highest murder rate in the world. And president decided to throw, 80,000 gangsters in prison. Murder rate's gone from highest in the world to one of the lowest in the world.
Sure.
So these problems can be solved with the right people in charge. And I think we're going to have one more term of madness and incompetence and kleptocracy of ANC and whoever their partners will be. And then we will never see the ANC, EFF, and maybe not the DA ever again. I think those parties may disappear in the next 5 years.
Wow.
And the new people will come up, and they'll be much more moderate, centrist, pro-West, pro-capitalist, and South Africa will take off like a rocket. But we've got to survive the next 5 years. It's going to be rough, rough, rough.
May your words come true.
Die Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika op Groot FM 95.
Rob Hershoff with us, and... sadly, probably not going to see too much regarding the politics anymore, because you've decided to just like step down from the political field, which I feel maybe reconsider. But nonetheless, at least you've got some hope for the country coming up. But here's the thing now, Rob. I mean, you've been overseas. You're married to your wife is from New Zealand. She's a Kiwi. And you've been overseas. You've seen it all. But still, you keep on coming back to South Africa. And I can't understand it. Why? Because, I mean, you're a multi-billionaire, right? Let's just get out of the way. Multi-billionaire, you can pack up now and go and have... You can have the island. You can go to Hawaii. You can go live wherever you want to. But you still choose to stay in South Africa. Why, Rob?
You should be asking my wife this question. She's a Kiwi. Safest country in the world. They have no threats, no enemies, no pollution, no racism, no nothing. It's the safest country in the world. And she loves be living here and doesn't want to leave. I mean, that should say it all. But for me... I've lived in America, I've lived in Europe, lived in the UK. I've visited almost every country in the world, and some many, many times. there's no place like South Africa. And it's for many different reasons. You want to make money, you should go and live in America. You get paid 40% higher than anywhere in Europe. Opportunities, growing economy, it's massive market. If you want to achieve anything, you should probably be elsewhere. But this country has something, has a mojo that no other country does. And it's not just South Africans who live here or who come back here that know it and feel it. It's foreigners too.
Correct.
You know, I've got a friend, Hans Ottling from Sweden, visited here once in 1989, he's been back and now he wants to move here. There are tons and tons of people that feel it when they come here. And not just to the Cape. It's, you know,
that's a very specific thing to say, Rob.
Yeah, I'm from Joburg, but I now live in the Cape, and I do come up here and I miss it. This is lovely, the Highveld. But it's little things, and it's the people, and it's the sport, and it's the smell of the earth.
Yes.
And my sister last night, who lives in Charlotte, North Carolina, I said to her, "How boring is it there?" And she looked at me with this funny look. She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "I've been to North Carolina and Virginia. And if you go all the way down the east coast of America, the coastline looks the same from top to bottom. Okay, maybe the sea gets a bit bluer when you get to Florida. But our coastline, look at the West Coast. Look at Hermanus. Look at Natal Coast. It's completely different. It's spectacular. We have a better coastline
than the whole of
North and South America."
Somebody asked me now, I lived in Scotland for a while, and I went to Edinburgh, and we tried to go to the shoreline once. It was horrible.
Horrible.
It was terrible. Like, what?
And that's just our coastline. Then we've got the desert, the Karoo, the Tankwa. You know, I find it magical and spiritual. And yes, you can go to Arizona, and you see those beautiful red things, those mesas, but you don't have the Drakensberg, the Karoo, Dahlstrom. I mean, we have... such an incredible diversity. Forget the cultural diversity. Just look at the beauty of this country and the magnificence of the sunrises and sunsets. You do not get that anywhere else in the world. I don't know how to explain it.
How many kids do you have?
I have 2 kids here, 2 overseas.
Right. And is that your best advice? Would you probably say to your kids that are still living here, stay here?
I think if my kids, 19, 20, 21, finished matric, finished university, to go overseas for 5, 10 years. Really, I think it's important. You've got to go oversee it, believe it, make money, make contacts, and then come back.
Yeah.
A lot of people my generation, okay, who were matric 77, 78, around there, who've done well overseas, are returning.
Yes.
Are returning. They're not just swallowing back for the summer. They're buying beautiful places in the Karoo, up here in the Transvaal. And they can't help it. They return. This country is magical.
It's the call of the motherland. And I think if we can have exactly what you said now, because this is what you told us the last time as well. Go, see the world, make your money, bring your skills back.
Yes,
That is an option that our kids aren't necessarily hearing, because it's don't go, or go for a year or two and come back and start building up your skills. There are other options. Go see the world.
I'll give you 2 examples of 2 friends of mine. It's Peter Bauer, who went to Saks, and then he built this incredible software company in Boston called Mimecast. Sold out. He and Brandon Becker, who played eighth man for Province, both were involved in Mimecast, both did very well, both returned to South Africa. Brandon married Jeannie D. And then Andrew Rolfe, Tower Brook Capital, huge successful private equity fund in London. He went to St. Andrews, and he's come back. They're all coming back, and they're all married, you know, international ladies and wives and Baptists. They can't help it. It's just this country is magical. And I said I was going to say there's nowhere like home, but I said there's nowhere like South Africa.
Correct. Couldn't agree more. Yeah. Every single time you sent now, there's a smell. I mean, I've said this so many times on air, but every time I came back from Scotland, I mean, you've done it so many times. But every time as I vliegtuig so oor Tambo inkom, like this, like you can see the grond, die droog. It's beautiful, and you can smell it when the door opens. You're like, that's
any veld, any woestyn, any berge, any koppies.
I just love it, man. Yeah. I wouldn't move anywhere, this is where I'm staying, is right here in South Africa. Rob, thank you so much for your time. Man, I really appreciate you coming out to visit us in studio today. Lastly, just before the elections, what is Rob's final word just before we go to the elections? Because I doubt we're going to have you over again, because I know you're a very, very busy person. Before we let you go, your last word before the elections.
Just pass the goodness forward. I try and do one good deed a day for someone that I've never met, will never meet again, and just don't know. Just a bit of kindness, you know, buy someone their coffee. Mm. Someone standing behind you in line with their loaf of bread and their thing of milk, and you know that that's their money for the day. I always say, let me pay that for you.
Yeah.
Or give someone a lift.
Yeah.
You know, just pass the goodness forward, because that love goes a long, long way.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rob herself. Rob, thank you so much. Appreciate
thank you so
your
much,
time.
Rob.
Die Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika op Groot FM 90.5.